Blog Talk Radio.
Ma'at-Hotep, welcome and greetings. You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we thank you all for tuning into this segment. Indeed, indeed. I'm going to tell you very shortly why I selected that to open us up for tonight. You know, it seems like almost every day we get a report of some sort that tends to be a bit disturbing, and today, of course, is no different. But again, I want to welcome you to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, and certainly, before we begin tonight's program, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And, of course, we are always very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Again, I kind of selected that because just a little while ago I got a report that another sister here in Philadelphia was raped. And I can tell you, having tracked these kinds of acts for a while now, rest assured, when I tell you it's increasing, it's truly increasing. And while we know sometimes it might not be the case where, you know, someone is saying rape for whatever reason, I'm here to tell you that 9 times out of 10, it is what it is. And so, again, you know, we have to really look at the situation and examine it for what it is. Our sisters are being violated daily, and not just daily, but violated in ways that really can just not be brushed to the side anymore. You know, our women are being beaten, our women are being raped, needless to say, murdered, and molested. Young girls are being molested. And we are acting like this thing is not happening, and it is. So, you know, I kind of hate to start the show off tonight because we really have a powerful program for you tonight and certainly a very inspirational one. But I just had to put that out there in hopes that, you know, if I say it enough, maybe, just maybe, we can start getting more people to stand up. At least that's the prayer, that's the thought, and, you know, I'm going to continue to put it out there nevertheless because we are the ones who can make this situation change, and we must. At any rate, tonight we're going to talk with our brother Lee Robinson. You may have heard a little from him last night. He came on our line when we were talking with brother Hanif Shabazz and Sarah Sutton-Setti, who we are also expected to hear from, again, later on tonight. I did get the opportunity to go over to the program earlier today. And it was very interesting, very good to see the folk come out. And it was kind of, I'm going to tell you what I really enjoyed also is that we had a lot of brothers came in from Baltimore, you know, so that was really good to see that folks came in from Tubman City, you know, to check SETI out. So, you know, again, blessings to the brothers that I met tonight and to all. So we're going to hear a little more from SETI, I believe, a little later on. He's scheduled to call in and just kind of, you know, give us an overview of how he felt today being in Philly, presenting, you know, giving the information that he gave. You know, lots of information was given. So, you know, we're going to give you some insight into that. And, again, we're going to talk with Brother Lee Robinson very soon. And, of course, Brother Lee is the U.S. coordinator who is, you know, very, very instrumental in facilitating the U.S. tour that is now underway with a Cuban delegation that is doing some very serious and powerful stuff, including Sister Gloria Rolando, who, of course, is the filmmaker that brought us that incredible documentary on our sister Asada Shakur, Eyes on the Rainbow. Well, Sister Rolando now has a new project that she's working on, and is going to share that with us here in Philadelphia, and of course the tour is going to be going to other cities as well. The other cities, I think, include Boston, New York, I know D.C., Virginia, and maybe California. So when we get Brother Lee on, we'll know specifically the other cities and the dates and so forth, so that those of you who are in or near those cities, certainly you will go and check it out. The panel discussion is going to be very, very interesting, and when we get Brother Lee on, we're going to tell you more about that, as well as the film. But as you all know, it's so important that we continue to build our solidarity ties with our brethren and sistren that are throughout the diaspora, what we call, or what it is called, Afro-Cuban, Afro-Venezuelan, Afro-Chilean. I mean, all through the diaspora, you have segments of our folks that are clearly, undeniably black. You know, and I know for some they don't like to use the word black, but, you know, with all the different changes in the nation's names and the people's names and all of that over the course of years, well, there's one thing that has never changed, at least as far as we know, and that is we be black folks. Okay, now, if you want to accept some negativity that goes with that, then that's on you. But, you know we have to deal with the issue of nationality, and in times and in places, as this says, for every time and for every place, there is a time and a place, and so you utilize it as such. But when we are amongst one another, we really don't need to get all into that like that. And so, again, have no problem with saying black. And we'll continue to do so. And, of course, it's not out of ignorance, because anyone who might wish to dialogue with me about that subject matter, I certainly invite them to do so. Okay? And I'm sure you will find you're definitely not dealing with an ignorant nor a non-intelligent person. So, with that said, to each his own, meaning, you know, you have the right to call yourself what you like. And I certainly take that right, and I take it very seriously. And I do so with the intent to bring about truth, justice, and certainly liberation. At any rate, family, we're going to move on tonight. And again, joining me very shortly, we're going to bring Brother Lee Robinson on. But before we do, we want to remind you, of course, that the Men and Women March reunion has, in fact, begun in terms of its coordination, and we certainly invite all of you to get involved. We would like to see coordinating committees be set up nationwide, as we did in 97, but this time we have some other things we're going to do in terms of how we're going to coordinate. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that tonight, because it's really very interesting, very proactive, and designed to specifically get some very key things done. So within these next 10 months, we're going to make certain that some very specific goals and objectives are, in fact, dealt with and accomplished. So I'm going to tell you more about that, too. Let's see. Needless to say, we indicated that a little later on we are going to talk with Sharon Sutton Steady, and I believe we're going to talk with Brother Hanif again. Hopefully. But in the meantime, before we do that, we want to remind you, of course, that the tribute that was taking place this weekend here in Philadelphia, and it will go on to tomorrow, is a tribute to Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and certainly to also Dr. Amos Wilson. Now, last night, we were able to share with you a few excerpts from one of my favorite presentations that Doc did, of course, a few years back, and that is, of course, a tribute to the black woman. Tonight we want to share a little bit with you some segments or some excerpts from none other than Dr. Amos Wilson. And, of course, you know, the blueprint for black power is truly one of the best pieces of work that we've seen in quite a while. This brother is truly, truly missed, as well as with Dr. Khalid. But, you know, we are here to assure that both of their work continued in the way that we feel strongly they would have wanted it to be. And we feel very honored to be able to do that work. So, again, without further ado, I want to share a little, few little excerpts from Dr. Amos Wilson. And this is, again, dealing with the famous or the incredible work that he's done dealing with the Black Blueprint. We're having a few technical difficulties, so please bear with us, if you would. We should have it underway in a few minutes. Okay.
We have this brother who has stayed true to the course, that's Dr. Amos Wilson. Let's give it up for Dr. Amos Wilson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much for your warm welcome. It's great to be back here with you again this evening. It's been a while, and I always appreciate coming and being with you. And, of course, appreciate your support. And I know each time that I've been here, I've promised you to come about our next publication, but it's definitely on the way. We are definitely now expecting to be out in November. And, of course, each time I talk with you, the book gets larger. At last count, Brother Sababu, my co-partner there, told me we were around about 800 pages. So we're going to try to split it up for you, maybe four and four. Give you some good wintertime reading. But then in a way, when we recognize that we are as complicated as any other people. And one of the things sometimes we underestimate the degree to which we must address ourselves as a people. And too often we have people who think that our issues and the things that we have to deal with can be described in 25 words or less. And that, and so there are people who think that you know, small people and small-minded people, so they don't have to write sometimes some sizable material. If other nations and other people require libraries to deal with their issues, so do we. And the interesting thing about the upcoming book is that with that 800 pages, it's basically a survey looking at various areas of life. If you recall, we titled it Blueprint, and we are essentially then trying to lay out a blueprint, a prescriptive book. Now we are coming into more and more into prescriptive type writing, laying out very practical kinds of steps and very practical methods for achieving what it is we must achieve as African people. This means we have to cover a lot of territory. We are covering psychology, we are covering, of course, history, sociology, a great deal of political science, a great deal of economics, and related fields, anthropology and so forth, because all of these have to be combined in the process of nation building. And this is what we really have to be about, is the process of building a nation as a people.
Right.
If you're not thinking in terms of nationhood, then I must say, frankly, you're not thinking seriously of being liberated.
All right. All right.
Trying to integrate and merge with our enemies is not going to solve our problem.
Right.
And it's not going to happen, as a matter of fact. It is a fantasy that has kept us from taking care of business for far too long. The idea that we are going to one day be one with these people. That we are going to merge into invisibility with these white folks. And even if that were possible, we should question our motives for wanting to do so. You know, why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves? With the people who have the worst values the world has ever known. It amazes me sometimes how we hear some of our parents telling our children we want to be just like them. Yeah, it's a joke. It's an insult to hear Dan Quayle or to hear President Clinton come and lecture black folk on value. How dare we let these people into our churches to try to lecture us on values? It's an amazing situation to try to talk to us about values, to try to talk to us about population control. Another joke. The first thing we think about when people talk about population control is the overproduction of African people, you know, so-called third world people. As I said, we can solve the overpopulation problem quickly if we could reduce the European population faster. Yes, and people, I'll tell you, this world has always been backwards. The ones who need to be reduced most drastically have the world thinking the other way around. Because a good deal of the problem sometimes is not the number of people in the world, but the number of greedy people in the world. Where you have
okay, once again, we're having a few little technical difficulties, but we'll hopefully get back to that in a few moments. Of course, that was none other than Dr. Amos Wilson. And, you know, we talk and you hear him talking about the blueprint for black power. And that, of course, is a classic. I mean, if you haven't seen it or haven't heard of it, then certainly you really need to, because it is indeed a piece of work that is just incredible. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get ready to go to our live line again, and we're going to have Brother Hanif join us in a few moments because, again, we'd like to get a brief update on what happened earlier today at the program, and certainly what's coming up for tomorrow, okay? But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. Oh, okay. Actually, what we're going to do is play a little more of Dr. Amos Wilson. We were able to get it back for you, okay? And then we'll go to our live line and talk to Brother Hanif.
This is the kind of joke that we got going out here. We're going to come back to this issue of value. So we're going to talk a little bit about African-centered consciousness, personality, and culture as instruments of power. Because ultimately, this is what this whole struggle is about, power. Not loving one another and all those things we hear, power. And to a great extent, the problems that we are confronted with today as African people and African people in America flows from our powerlessness or our inappropriate use of power. We've been made to even talk about it. We've been made to think that power is sinful and that to pursue it is a sinful pursuit.
That's right.
And it's wrong. But you cannot exist without power. without power, there is no light. A battery without power is dead.
All right.
You need power to act, to behave in the world, to deal with the world. And consequently, then, we must interpret what we are about in terms of power. And we have the power, ladies and gentlemen. We have the possibility. We just need to reorganize ourselves, reorganize our consciousness and our personality and our culture, and see them as instruments of power and use them as instruments of power to transform our situation. So we should not look at consciousness as some abstraction. As I often tell people, the most practical thing you can have is a good theory, is a good concept to guide your behavior, to be used as an instrument to measure reality, as an instrument to test reality. A good theory then organizes the world and organizes one's approach to the world. It permits one to be able to evaluate the world in terms of where one wants to go and in terms of what one wants to do. To be without fitting in is to approach the world on an ad hoc basis, you know, just to meet it here and there, and to not approach it in a systematic form. To live reactionarily, always reacting to what other people are doing. Always being overwhelmed by events and overwhelmed by the future instead of creating events and creating the future and making the future.
All right.
When one has said a good theory and a good concept, one is able to do that. Consciousness, without human consciousness, there is no world. It is the presence of human consciousness that brings meaning into the world.
Right.
Without human beings in this world, conscious human beings in this world, in effect, there would not be a world. We bring the world into being through our consciousness. And through our consciousness, we create the world we live in. Out of the totality of reality, our consciousness cuts out a world that exists itself. In other words, the kind of world you exist in reflects the kind of consciousness that you have. And notice, if you change your consciousness or change your values and orientation, you enter into a different world. You interact with different people. People often that you didn't even know existed in the world. Social situations that you might not have even recognized until you entered into a new level of consciousness. You see people, say, for instance, who become addicted, say, to crack or something, and now enter into a whole world and enter into a whole social system that before they became addicted, they hardly noticed. They didn't know what it was all about. And they picked up new friends and new relations, whole new ways of acting, whole new purposes in life. They lost old friends, broke with old families, all kinds of things. In other words, the consciousness, that addictive consciousness, brought into the world a new foreground and put other things into the background. Therefore, man's consciousness is a creative act. And the kind of consciousness you have will determine the kind of world you create.
Right.
And consequently, when you look at the world that we live in as people, we must recognize to a great extent it is a world of our own creation.
All right.
It is a world that has been generated by the type of consciousness we've been permitted to be instilled in us as a people.
Right.
As I told you earlier today on the radio, we talk about the white man as having power. And I want you to recognize that power ultimately has to do with a relationship between people. And that the white man's so-called power is to a great extent based upon the nature of the relationship he has with the black man. We empower him by the nature of our own behavior and attitudes as a people. He cannot be, as I said earlier, what he is unless we are what we are. And tell you.
Indeed, indeed, Dr. Amos Wilson. Whew, I mean, we're going to hear a little more of that later, but what can we say? I mean, he says it all right there, crystal clear. Okay, we're going to get ready to go to back to our live line, and as indicated earlier, I'm going to kind of give you just an overview of the activity, the event that took place today, and of course, it continues on into tomorrow at Black and Nobel, based here in Philadelphia. So what we're going to do is just take a few moments to talk with Brother Hanif Shabazz. Of course, that was the coordinator for today's program over at Imani Charter School. And, of course, it did, in fact, feature Brother Sarah Sutansetti. So, again, bear with us, family. We are having just a few technical difficulties here for some strange reason, but it's all good. You know, we're going to figure it out nonetheless. Let's see. My board's freezing up on me because we have quite a few callers tonight, which I certainly give thanks for. We're going to try to bring Brother Hanif in right about now. My board is still frozen, Brother Hanif. Hang in there. We're trying to get you through. We're having some few little technical difficulties. It should be clearing up in a few minutes. We're trying to break through this little barrier they got going on here. Okay, we should have it now. All right, let's see. Wow, okay. Again, family, bear with us. We're having a few technical difficulties with our boards. They're really kind of freezing on us tonight for some reason, I guess because we got so much powerful information going on. And that is definitely what happens when our show is hot. You know, we tend to get some technical difficulties. All right. We're all having a little bit of problem. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully I can clear this up in a few moments. Family, just bear with us, if you will, please. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Okay, Brother Hanif, we should have you now. I think we got our boards clear. Brother Hanif, we got you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Greetings, Black
Power. Very good. Absolutely. You know, see, it's so interesting because these people, they forget. We learn real fast, you know. And so while I'm not, we're not technically all of that, you know, inclined, but let me tell you, we know how to work this thing.
Listen, you know what it takes. You know, you got to be what they say, wiser than the average bear. You know what I mean? You
know, I know that's right.
You know, that's one of the most things to say.
Yes, indeed. So, brother, so I know you're feeling really high on today's activity, today's event. The room was definitely, you know, with good energy. So, you know, give us some response and feedback. You know, how do you feel about today? And, you know, what
I'm going to start here with you, sister. I give thanks and praise that when I picked up the line and I called in, I hear our good brother Amos Wilson saying,
yes,
what the exact truth, sister. You know what I mean? They can't be who they are, not unless we be who we are. You know what I mean? And, you know, we allow this to take place. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest issue right now, you know. So, and that was the basic discussion today, you know. We allow things to happen to ourselves, you know what I mean? You know, and sooner or later we have to recognize that we have to stop allowing these particular things to take place. You know, and it's no uncertain terms how that action has to take place, you know. So it's a real world that we live in, you know. But overall, the program today was, I don't even know if there's a word. We can use the word powerful, but I don't even think that can harness, you know, how it was. You know, I mean, people, just the babies were talking about how great they felt. You know what I mean? They want to come back. We're not talking about the general people, you know, the older people, the young people. We're talking about babies.
They were having a ball.
Sister experiencing, quote unquote, the power of blackness. I mean, everybody, Brother Umar Ben Hassan and the Last Poets, said to me as he walked out, he said, you know, brother, I see a lot of things. I've been around, you know, and I was contemplating whether I should or I shouldn't be. He said, but I needed this, brother. He said, I really needed to come out, you know, and be in this energy. You know what I mean? So that's what it was. It was a recharging, you know, for you know, people in general, you know. And, you know, you could just see the lights on, you know, and people who were here today, they coming back tomorrow. They said, we're going to be there tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, I mean, no matter what I say, all of that speaks for itself, you know. We can start from the top, you know, precise science.
You know, I was going to say, I felt really heartfelt when I saw so many brothers. Well, I only met brothers. Came from B-More, from Tubman's camp. I was like, whoa, where you from? So, that was a beautiful thing to see.
Called the soldiers in, sister, you know what I mean? Because Tubman City be representing. They, you know, they right now, when, and I think I might have mentioned it before, if I didn't, I will. You know, Tubman City is fast becoming a Mecca. You know, if I can use that term, if you know, people don't misconstrue what I'm saying. You know, a Harlem, a heartland, you know what I mean? A pulsation that's beating. You know, they didn't do all the drugs and alcohol that they could at them brothers down there. You know, but, you know, through crush the earth will soon rise again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Power of blackness, you know, so out of the darkness of space and time. You know, those brothers, you know, their minds opened up. They started to expand, stretch, and breathe. You know, and you saw them.
All right, that's right.
And all I'm saying to our brothers and sisters here is, you know, you gave life to Baltimore, and Baltimore is giving life back to you. You know, if you don't outstretch your hands to your brother and sister, you know, or your sister and brother, however we want to go with that, you know what I mean? You know, and reach out to them, you know, they won't reach out to you. Somebody has to reach out, you know what I mean? And give a hand to the other. So, you know, these brothers and sisters came up and, you know, they represented Tubman City. We had brothers and sisters from Jersey. People came from all over the tri-state area today to be a part of this, you know what I mean? And everybody enjoyed themselves thoroughly. You know, so those who didn't get there, you know, we say, you know, you got tomorrow.
That's right.
You know,
okay,
tell us
about tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the ground is still shaking. You know, Brother Sarah Sutton Seti General will be here tomorrow in the morning. We're going to rise with Seti at Black End Nobel. Our family up there on Broad and Erie on the second floor, you know. And it's going to be even more intense, you know. And I have to say, Brother is giving a lot of life energy to this, you know. You know, just today for people to see, no matter what they've seen on YouTube, this brother, he did people one, what can I say? He did something for the people that, you know, they aren't going to get on YouTube nowhere else. He gave him his resume. You know what I mean? Because as it said, you know, we was kicking it. You know, people don't really know who you are. They just know what people say you are. You know what I mean? And
that's right.
Brother showed, you know, he showed forth and then he took it from there. You know what I mean? And, you know, he qualified himself as a student with Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark for many years. You know, he sat at the feet. All the pictures that he showed him with them and, you know, abroad, this brother is well-traveled, well-versed. You know, so as he said, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, he has to be hard, you know. As Khalid said in one piece, he said, you know, you think I'm just hard on crackers, I got to be hard on you too, you know, because you know, you don't want to listen. You don't want to partake. You just want to take and don't do nothing with it. So, you know,
right.
Mama Kosa Wasabri, you know, she is beautiful when sisters like yourself, Sister and Mama Kosa Wasabri, you know, get out there, you know, and people really get to feel the expansions of your minds, you know, because ultimately, you know, as a person who's in the field of information, you know, I get a lot of sisters who say, well, we only see brothers in this field. We only hear brothers talking. Where are the sisters? And I keep telling them, y'all out there. Y'all are out there. So to have sisters speak today and, you know, just go into it and just lay it all out the way she did, following up on the heels of Dr. Amos Wilson and Dr. Khalid, because we showed a video, short few minutes of them speaking and talking directly to the people who were there. You know, that's the way we did it. To have her come and follow up on that, you know, it was brilliant, you know, to watch, you know, the lights coming on in the houses, you know, that formerly might have been asleep. Or, you know, they had the shades drawn because they wanted to shut out some of that light, you know what I mean? But they popped those shades open, those lights came on, and, you know, you started seeing people sitting up, attentive, you know, attentive to what was going on, you know, paying attention. So, you know, that. And then you had Brother Umar Ben Hassan, Last Poets. I mean, this brother went back into the treasure troves of his mind.
Right. That's right.
He did a piece called, you know, The Streets Are Calling, talking to the young brothers and telling them, you know, that you got to pay attention when the streets are calling, because the streets work alone. They don't work with nobody. They don't work for nobody but themselves. So once you get called into this service, believe me, they dominate. And that's what he was teaching the brothers in this piece. It was beautiful. And then, you know, him in Precise Science, a young group coming out of Tubman City who's actually working with him now. You know, they're working together, and you know, they're learning not just only what his experiences have been, but you know, he's allowing them to help them to continue to build their resume and catapult them, you know, as the next generation of the Last Poets. You know what I mean? And it's beautiful. They did a piece together. They just rocked the house. You know what I mean? So young and old, you know, linking up. I mean, that's what they don't want to see. They don't want to see the young man and the old man get together, the young woman and the old woman get together. You know, that means that we're tying the links of time up. You know what I mean? We can see further in our past and further into our future when we do that. So, you know, it was beautiful to watch that. So, you know, and you know, Brother Seti's position today, not only just laying out his resume, was a conversation about, you know, survival. You know, survival from the standpoint of contemporary things that we're watching, you know, and he particularly wanted to reference and did reference a lot of what was going on with our brothers and sisters in New York, you know, from the standpoint that, you know, we just saw this in New Orleans. You know, it's happening again, and we're still not ready. We still don't believe.
That's right.
You know, we still haven't, you know, put together our particular materials so that we can protect ourselves when, you know, these so-called disasters come to our door. You know, we don't have no water. We don't have no electricity. You know, what you going to do? You know, so, you know, the issue of, for, if I can use this term, some people call it population control. Some just say, you know, they just straight out want to get rid of people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, so they're things that are set in motion, you know, and these are things that we see. So, you know, the ability to be prepared for them is at an all-time high. You know, people talk about, you know, level 10, DEFCON 10, you know, this, that, and the other, and the third, in reference to all of that. But the reality is you don't have a choice anymore.
That's right.
Either you are or you aren't. You know, black
people. The lines are being drawn in the sand, as they say.
The line is drawn, sister. You know, and you know, I'm gonna share this with your people tonight. You know, and I only mentioned it to a couple close people in our circle tonight, you know, so as this program went on today, I had a cracker call me about 10 times asking me why was we doing this program there, and particularly why do we have this brother, General Soros, and he was cussing as he was saying his name, you know what I mean? So, you know, when I heard the initial attack, you know, after I got what was really going on, I just hung up. And this cracker called me 10 times during the course of the program. You know, so I'm saying the beast, you know, and it's from a 50-something area code. I don't know where it was for. You know, after the point, they stopped putting in their regular number, started calling on a private number. You know, but what I'm saying is that wasn't a 215 number. That wasn't a 267. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a 856 or 609 or 302.
Right.
You know, these crackers are calling cross country. They're trailing us. They're looking at us. They're paying attention to us. You know, we walking around trolloping through damn tulips thinking this shit ain't real. Shit is very real. And they're very serious out there. You know, so as it stands now, you know, I mean, the same thing happened when we brought Sister Ramona down to our shop several years ago once she had been released and, you know, was fighting her case. You know, Cracker called us in, blowing up our line. Why you got her there? You know, I mean, and they pull on this whole fear thing that they believe that, you know, we still maintain in our minds and our hearts. You know what I mean? You know, so, again, I'm saying that they're out there. Ain't no boogeyman that we're imagining. It's real. This is real. This took place today. What's today's date? November 3rd, 2012. They hunt.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, for all those out there who don't believe it, I'm here to tell you that it's real. And they don't want you talking about business, unification, relationships, warfare, doing nothing for yourself. Don't y'all forget it, because it'll soon be visiting you. As you stand up and take the mantle of truth and you decide that you want to move it forward, advance that flag in any kind of way, the beast going to come, he want to visit you. And you better be prepared. I'm telling you.
I know that's right.
Yes.
All right, my brother. Yeah. I give thanks. So before you depart us tonight, please once again tell us what time for tomorrow morning.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, sister, we want to, again, thank you for your platform. You know, sister, it's very, very important that, you know, we maintain lines of communication, because in war, that's the first thing they attack, our lines of communications, our means of information, infrastructure, and the likes, you know. So, you
that's
know,
right.
We're glad
that's
that
right.
you knew how to be able to circumvent. Because I've heard you say that before, whenever the show got hot,
that's right. Your
equipment went down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just laughed when I heard you saying it tonight when, you know, telling the family to hold on, because I know you said you've been experiencing this before. You know, older brother said, you know, WWW don't stand for anything but worldwide weapons. Depends whose weapon, how the weapon is being used and then whose hand it's being controlled by. You know, same thing Brother Amos say. You know, you believe in laws, but it's only about the people who control and can enforce the laws, and people who enforce and control the laws aren't you, at least the laws that they operate by, you know what I mean? So,
and you know, brother,
you know,
I tell you what I found interesting today, that as I was speaking with people, I gave them information, and they looked at it and said, oh, yeah, I know, I'll be getting your emails. And so, you know, now, you know, it becomes even clearer that we are, in fact, able to use this as a weapon for us. Because
absolutely.
On numerous occasions, you know, I get that response from folks who are from, you know, all over the place, all over different parts of the country, you know, saying, yeah, I get your email. So, yeah, I know. So, you know, that was, again, a further validation.
Yeah, well, you know, even with that, sister, we say, you know, but what you doing? Because it's more than just to know anymore, you know. We'd have known this a long time, like Brother Amos was saying in the piece we were playing today. This is the third reconstruction. How many times you want to keep going around this barn? How many times you want to keep hearing the same song and dance? How many times you want to keep doing the same song and the dance? You know what I mean? The feet hurting by now, shuffling, scratching, you know, bending and bowing, you know, and doing all those things that aren't necessary. You know, I mean, it's real simple. Man and woman, straighten up your back. Nobody can ride your back, not unless you bend over. You know what I mean? So the program tomorrow starts at 10 o'clock at Black and Nobel, Broad and Erie. You know, we're going to have breakfast included, $15 in advance. And, again, we still leave that open. Anybody comes in and mentions your program, you know, to get the advance price, you know. But at the same time, you know, what we're saying to the people, these particular donations, you know, are just to maintain and continue the programming, because that's what they do, program. You know what I mean? That's necessary in order for us to, you know, as Brother Cambine says, Kamau Cambine, to continue to de-whitenize.
That's right.
To continue to de-whitenize our minds, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's what this is about. We're going to have a great time tomorrow, you know, actually even more so because, you know, this particular juncture, you know, we've taken the red pill. You know, the tracer pill has told us where we are.
That's right.
We in the Matrix for real, sister. You know, I don't care what they would talk about. That was a movie, but you better know. And you better take a look again.
We know. That was very symbolic, to say the least. Now, again, you get started at what time?
10 a.m. in the morning till 12:30. And, you know, again, it's at Black and Nobel, Broad and Erie, second floor. You know, be there, you know.
All right.
You know, it's a definite article, you know what I mean? So we look forward to it, and we thank you again. And, you know, we say to the people, you know who you are and be who you are. You know, it's most important in day and time. And do something because of who you are, you know, and stop being, you know, just bystanders in your own evolution. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
brother. Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, I know you need to go get some rest and get ready for tomorrow. And again, thank you for taking the time to, you know, to recap for us. And, hey, we be black.
We be black, sister. Stay strong. Peace.
All right, peace. All right, family, of course, we were just talking with Brother Hanif Shabazz, who, of course, is the brother that put together the event for this weekend with Sarah Sutton Seti. Of course, it is a tribute to Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and Dr. Amos Wilson. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk with our brother Lee Robinson. We're going to talk about the Cuban delegation that is here in the U.S. and will be traveling throughout the U.S. During the next couple of weeks or so. And, of course, we hope that you will support not only this activity, this event, but, of course, you know, the continued ongoing development of solidarity, of building our allyship with our brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, and certainly making certain that we strive for true liberation. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Okay, and we're back. again, I want to thank Brother Hanif for taking the time to join us to give us that overview about today's events. And, of course, continues on tomorrow at Black and Nobel here in Philadelphia, Broad and Erie, starting at 10 o'clock a.m. So if you're in the tri-state area, especially if you're in Philly, you know, go over, check it out, give the brother some support, give Set and Suit Me some love, and, hey, do what you know you need to do. All right, family, we're going to move on to the next segment of our program. And, of course, that segment is, of course, we're going to talk about the Cuban delegation that is presently here in the U.S., I believe, and certainly will be here in Philadelphia November the 18th. We're going to be at the Songhai City Cultural Center, located at 3117 Master Street. Those who are in Philly, you certainly know Songhai. Very, very powerful place, has been for many years, and we're really blessed that they literally asked to have the event there, actually. So we were more than happy to comply and to bring it there, bring that energy there. And so we're going to go to our live line now, and we're going to talk with Brother Lee Robinson, who, of course, as I indicated earlier, is the key coordinator here on this end, meaning here in the States. And bringing this delegation in to Philly and, of course, various other states, various other cities. And because we know that our show does go nationwide, in fact, worldwide, certainly if you're in some of the cities that the delegation is coming, we hope, again, that you will support this because it's very, very important on many levels. Now, needless to say, as we indicated before, it'll be a panel discussion, of course, but also a film showing of a new film by filmmaker Gloria Rolando. Of course, you know of her work, the incredible documentary on Assata Shakur, Eyes on the Rainbow. So, but it's some topics for this upcoming panel discussion that really, really is going to be interesting and definitely needs to be discussed. So without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is Brother Lee Robinson, who is also a part of or involved with a group known as African Awareness and also does incredible work, of course, with none other than the AAPRP. And so, again, let's go to our live line. Brother Lee, you're on this line with us?
Yes, I am, because I get your email all the time. Yeah, yeah.
I know that's right.
Yeah,
I go
Queen,
so many places. Yes,
yeah,
sir. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. I go so many places, and I'll start saying something, and they'll go, "Oh yeah, I know." We can, because we do not play with this internet. We kick it out.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because you know.
Yes, indeed.
I don't think people understand the importance of information. One of the contradictions as oppressed people, you'll find that they are lacking information. Anytime when they lack information, you know, they sort of will always have the tendency of being controlled by other outside forces. So what I don't want to do is belittle the role that you play in terms of giving that people information. Because as human beings, what makes us distinctly different from animals is we can take information and learn and develop and conceive and use that to change the world and not act out of instinct. With information, this is what allows us to think. If we don't have information, human beings can't think. So just on that little note, I must praise you and all those other brothers and sisters who have taken a responsible position of understanding the necessity to provide people with information, that they're playing a key role. I know earlier, before we get to that topic, they were talking about this question of power. Heard the brother talk about this question of power. And I think probably one of the best examples of trying to understand power and how powers come about is that is, you know, it's based upon conception. You know, I think Secretary Ray has a statement where he said that power begins with conception. If our people don't have the proper conception of something, they will never be able to arrive at it. So power in of itself is a question of conception. So this is where information comes.
You didn't hear earlier, you probably weren't on earlier, I played something from Dr. Amos Wilson, and he pretty much said almost the same exact thing. You're right on point. But go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and that's just and you know, just leading to that, this is why I like to invite the audience to come out to these programs. that is taking place with this Cuban delegation. Let me just talk a little bit about Cuba, why we believe it's important for our brothers and sisters to come out and support these programs. First and foremost, when you come to these programs, we got to be conscious that we are a history-making people. And when we come out to these type of programs, particularly this type of program, the only thing that we are doing is continuing the historical struggles that we have always had with our brothers and sisters in Cuba and throughout the Western Hemisphere since the first day that we stepped foot in the Western Hemisphere. There was discussions among Africans in the Caribbean, the Africans born in America, the Africans in Central and South America from its first inception when they enslaved us, that the struggles that we are encountering is one struggle, and we could never be free until all of us are free. If you look at the history of Jose Marti and Frederick Douglass, they often talk about the various struggles of the two people as being one. And we often collaborate and talk with each other and recognize this. If you look at some of the history of your jazz players back in the day, your baseball players, like the Negro Baseball League, we used to exchange greetings and information and play with each other all the time, back and forth. Even during the slavery plantation time, they used to take our brothers and sisters from Cuba and used to ship them to America when they were very rebellious. And the same thing the slave owner did in America, they used to take our brothers and sisters from America and ship them down in Cuba. So what a lot of us don't realize is that our brothers and sisters in Cuba, even biologically, we are one. A lot of us don't realize we were so closely connected historically, we used to exchange names and adapt each other's names. And we look at the influence of music in terms of jazz and stuff. We can see each other's influence. So what I'm saying to our people is that this is just a continuation of this dialogue on how do we create a society where we can eradicate racism and this oppression that our people historically has been facing for over hundreds of years. And our guests, as Afro-Cubans in Cuba, they will come and share their perspective and talk about the impact of race and racism. And it's important because why is it important in Cuba? At this point in time, we will argue with the rest of the world that, number one, Cuba is the most politically advanced, conscious nation and people on the face of the earth today. Let me repeat that statement. We will argue that Cuba and the Cuban people are the most advanced and conscious people today on the face of this earth. If you look at their historical practices of recognizing what is human being responsibility to humanity, they set good examples. And this is why Cuba is a threat to the U.S. and all Western capitalist countries. Because what Cuba has done and is doing, it gives a human being another alternative, another model of how to reorganize a society and how they can organize society in a capacity allowing man to reach their greatest capacity or potential. Let's look at Cuba, for example. In less than 50 years or so, Cuba has freed themselves from U.S. domination in Western Europe. They are a totally independent, free country because even today, the Cuban control their economy. We can't talk about free people, free nation if you don't control your economy economically. And by controlling your economy economically, you also control it politically. Cubans can sit down today and make policies for the next 15 years, say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and train our people, and 20 years later, they can objectively measure whether or not they have succeeded or not and make it happen. In 1959, probably before 1959, the African people in Cuba was enslaved by the West, more particularly the U.S., the sugar industry, and what have you. Well, that was a revolution that took place, and it was successful after January 1st, 1959, and decided to create a new model where human beings would be able to be free and live as human beings. And some of the principles that Cuba has established for other human beings to live by and nations to live by is this. It's the number one as human beings, this question of housing should be a human right. It's not a privilege that you can only have these things based upon your ability to have money or capital. Free health care is a human right. All people should be taken care of when it comes to health-wise. That's something you need just as a human being. Education is a human right. You can't maintain your human qualities if you don't have some form of education and maintain it. So those are human rights. Now, when you talk about these basic principles of human rights that we're talking about that are totally different from how we see human rights in Western societies, particularly in the U.S. and Europe. We see these rights as properties. Those who have money get to enjoy the rights, and those who don't can't.
Right.
Cuba is a worker state. It recognizes the real power will come from the people, come from the workers. It's the workers that produce, that develop, and create ideas that shape and transform society. And therefore, this whole question of accomplishments don't belong to individuals, but belongs to the group. These are just some of the values and principles that we can get and see from the Cuban Revolution that the world began to look at and began to marvel at. Let's look at the Cuban personality, just certain aspects of it. And it's a reflection of the African personality. Because what they don't tell you about Cuba is that Cuba is an African country. Did you hear what I said, sister? It's an African country. Culturally and politically. As an African country, they don't tell you that because most things, based on the psychological wall that has been imposed upon our people, is that when you talk about people and nations, they have good virtues and qualities. They never like to associate that with Africa or African people. When you talk about countries, when you talk about countries, people are organized, people can think for themselves, people are creative, people are loving. I mean, these are characteristics that you see throughout Cuba among the people. And you can't pay no one to act like that. I mean, this really is a part of what Che called create a new man under socialism. Socialism is a concept, is a system, is a philosophy I think all oppressed people must take a look at and value it based upon its principles and not to those who claim to be socialists. But if you look at the principles of socialism and stuff, you'll find that it's the only just system today that's capable of dealing with the ills that affect the oppressed people in general, and particularly African people. This is another reason why the West hate Cuba and why we must take a look at Cuba, because it gave us and given us another model, and we must come to understand socialism. What other country, you know, right today, have a blockade against them, which is actually a form of warfare, have limited resources, because they cannot trade with the international world. But at the same time, they will find and create a medical school where they will train doctors from all around the world, from other countries, and don't charge anything. Did you know just recently I listened to Brother Farrakhan, and he said that they have this medical school in Latin America, medical school in Cuba, where they train brothers and sisters and people of color from all around the world to become doctors, and the only thing they have to do is go back home and serve their people and community. But did you know today, for the next 5 to 10 to 20 years, that medical school can produce more African doctors in the United States than the medical schools that we have in this country that can come from out of Cuba, free of charge. Even the nation, Islam, Farrakhan just admitted, right now they have 50 students alone who are members of the nation who is now in the medical school, don't have to pay anything. You're talking about over $500,000 to $1 million worth of education. What the Cuban people are sacrificing to give to the brothers and sisters here in the communities. We say as revolutionaries, just ideas must be supported by just principles. We also want to raise the question of understanding political economy. How we spend our money and who we spend our money with. We know this country has an embargo against Cuba. It's trying to starve Cuba, starve its people out by denying them resources, access to resources. Well, one of the things we can do with Cuba, and this is where African Awareness Association comes in, is we make a conscious attempt to show our gratitude to Cuba and our people by every year challenging the U.S. policy about not being able to go to Cuba freely. We must make our people realize who are our friends and who are our enemies. Historically, any time political prisoners was in trouble in this country, and if they ever made it to Cuba, they were always protected and safeguarded. From Robin Williams to Kwame Ture to Assata Shakur today. These are some of the few examples that you can see in Cuban history, the Cuban culture, the contribution that Cuba have made to African people and African people around the world. Most of our people don't have the proper information or understand the proper history of Cuba when it comes to African liberation on the continent. You know, ever since the inception of Cuba, of the Cuban Revolution in 1959, Algeria was one of the first countries where Cuba acknowledged who said we will go over to that country and help our brothers and sisters to help them get their independence before the Algeria, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Angola, Namibia. Matter of fact, it's the battle in Angola that laid the foundation for all of Southern Africa today to get their political independence. That is called Quito Carnivore. They whooped the South African government and the U.S. government, and the only thing they did was to volunteer their brothers in Cuba to go to Africa to help their brothers in Angola and Namibia. And the only thing they asked for were the bodies of their people when they came back. They didn't take one penny. And three of the brothers who went to help fight for African liberation and independence are three of the brothers who are now incarcerated in the United States prison called Cuban Five. I know our brothers and sisters look at them and say they're white boys. You know how people talk. They're white boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cuba's a good example that, you know, and Cuba's a good example, even if we look at our history as a people. We must begin to ask the question, what is the African? And what is family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in life, there's only two types of families. There's your biological family and there's your ideological family. Between the two, which one is the greatest? Which one do you think can maintain the most? It's your ideological family. Biologically, we can look alike, but we think different, have different sets of values. You are more of an enemy than someone who don't look like me but think like me. Cuba is a prime example. Can you not say these are not our brothers? They were willing to give their life to help us get our liberation? Where brothers who look at us, like us, are supposed to be a part of us, refuse to do anything to help Africans at home and abroad, but yet they look like us.
That's right.
But Cuba raised many, 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 many important issues and examples that we must come to value and cherish. But for these events that's coming up, one of the things that I say is important for coming to support this event is that, again, it's a historical continuation of the collaboration that we need to have with each other to find out what is going on, how we can help each other. And what this delegation is going to do is, for a long time, you never really got to hear the perception and perspectives Afro-Cubans in Cuba. Most of the time you hear perspectives of, you know, other ethnic groups inside of Cuba, and like all things, people have their own self-interests and their own self-agendas and their own historical experiences. But I think it's become very important at this stage of our development for us to reach out and begin to realize what's going on with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. And Cuba is a key place. It is having great influence in South America now, just consolidating the countries in South America and coming up with an alternative system where our people can free themselves from Western imperialism, from these IBM banks, IMF, and these other institutions that control their people worldwide. Cuba is having influence on Africa. Quiet as a cat, they are building medical infrastructures all throughout Africa, throughout all the countries, so the Africans can become self-sufficient in terms of taking care of their medical needs. And what these brothers and sisters do want to do today, when they come, they would like to have a dialogue. There's a film they're going to be showing called 1912, Breaking the Silence. It's a documentary that highlights the centennial of the 1912 uprising and massacre of the Independent Party of Color. Cuba had an African Independent Party back in the early 1900s, and it has a real interesting history that just recently been discovered. And one of the things about their history, they were massacred, and they made a rule during their time that you could never have another political party based upon color. This is all part of this struggle of trying to figure out this issue of dealing with race and racism, not only just inside of Cuba, but throughout the world. And the same phenomenon of racism, how it has impacted Africans in Cuba, is the same type of racism that is having an impact on Africans in the U.S. throughout. So there's a lot of historical commonalities that we can share and learn from each other. So this is one of the things that this delegation would like to share with our brothers and sisters here in the United States. We are basically three film writers, intellectuals, and educators that are going to be with us. Those three will be Gloria Rolanda. She's a Cuban filmmaker. Next, we have with us Dr. Thomas Fernando Rubio. He's head of the Cuban National Archives. Then you have Robert Z. Bano. He's a Cuban author and work with Casualty Americas. Along with the three, we must give our thanks to a European brother from France, the name is Dr. Gregory de la Forque. He's a professor at Norfolk State University, and they was able to sponsor and organize this particular delegation. They asked the African Awareness Association if we could assist them in identifying key African communities and help open up the gateway where these Cuban brothers and sisters can come and speak to our community. And that department that is sponsoring this under Norfolk State, which is a historically black university, is the Office of International Studies and Service. So we must be grateful to them, but more importantly, this is the first time we can have primary sources where we can really engage with Africans from Cuba to find out what's going on in Cuba, its relationship to us, and why we should have a concern to engage with them. And this question about why it's important to go to Cuba to help break the blockade is because part of the blockade is the economic blockade. They're trying to keep Cuba from getting resources. And if you're going to spend your money, you know, Africans go all over the world to all these crazy countries that are owned by the West and getting the same money back to the same people who enslaved them. If we're going to spend our money, we must be political. We must realize every dollar we spend is political. And how and who we get our money, we should understand how they transfer to our oppression or lack of oppression. We aid Cuba in terms of in terms of economic development by increasing our tourism, which also doing to help Africa, African people. Because a lot of their international policies and programs they have, they develop these programs and give them to African nations. For example, in Venezuela, they have an Operation Eyebright, I believe. They have this program where, like, they do operations, cataract operations, do all kind of operations where people can see again, free of charge. Thousands and thousands of people normally would not have the money to get these operations. They're being blind. The Cubans now doing these operations and getting them sight again. And it's free of charge. What other country, what other people know is doing this? And at the same time, still suffering because of the blockade of the U.S. policy. As I said, just ideas, but just so supported by just principles. So, I'll stop right there. Like to entertain some callers and just have a little discussion on the program and Cuba in general and why we should support it. Because like I said, by supporting Cuba, you're also supporting Africa, African people. As the Cuban
now,
said,
let me ask a question, if I may.
Yes.
The film 1912, Breaking the Silence, who directed that?
You said who did what now?
Yes.
Repeat again.
Who wrote this film? Is that
the
new film?
This is Gloria Rolanda.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get clarity
on. Film. This is one of the reasons why they're coming on here. This is like the third part she is working on. She tried to complete the film, and one of the things they are lacking in resources to complete the film. So what we do with these tours, so they're going around the country, we ask the people to come to support the film, and that way it can help them to generate resources to complete the film so she have a complete project. This is like the third phase of it. But she is the major producer of the film, along with Dr. Thomas Fernandez Rubio. Both of them will be there speaking and share some things with the audience. She'll be working on it.
Also, I know that each year, at least once a year, maybe even more, you and others put together a tour or a trip in order to go to Cuba. And I know that, based on either, I think it's cultural or art or what have you, there is the ability to do that. I want to be able to, help to get those who might be interested in doing research or study, if it's feasible on your next trip. Perhaps we can encourage or we can help folks to participate. Do you have another date scheduled, or are you looking at another time?
We'd love to do that. I believe tentatively we're going to be going next year. We go every year. We're going in July. We're going to be going around July. I believe it's like July the 23rd, maybe to August the 7th. And one of the areas we're going to be is San Diego, Cuba. Each year they have an African festival that you would love going to. We're going to spend some time there and then spend the rest of the time in Havana. But we will be going, taking a delegation this year coming up, 2013 in July, around the 23rd to around August the 7th or so. And we would like to encourage Africans to go with us and get to see Cuba firsthand and really experience, the realities that the Cubans live in and intermingle with the Cubans. One of the things that separates us from most other folks who go is that you directly have a chance to be with the Cubans on the ground and live with them and deal with them and talk with them and see the whole reality, the good, the bad, and the ugly. One thing the Cubans have always stated that they have never asked nobody to be like them. The only thing they want to do is allow them to be free and let them choose their own choice on how they want to live and how they want to govern themselves. And I think every people should have the right to self-determination. But we do believe that
That's
they have
right.
a lot of things that we can value. We can value. They have a lot of things to value. And, you know, come and meet your African brothers and sisters. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But not only your African brothers and sisters, I say come and meet Cuba, period. All of them are your brothers and sisters, regardless of
right.
reputation one skins. The Cubans are beautiful people. They always welcome us. As a matter of fact, I was joking the last time I was there, I was telling the Cuban brothers and sisters that I must come to Cuba at least once a year to get my shot of medicine so I can keep my humanity. Because Cuba makes you realize that there are other alternatives and make you realize what human beings should be and how they should act towards each other.
Mm.
But so that maintains my sanity, at least going once a year. You know, I got to get my medicine. Because when you look at all this craziness that's going on around, you know, things don't have to be like this. And if we will organize ourselves and understand our history, you know, we can change all of this. It's a question of just having the information, understanding history, with organization. And with organization comes political education. With political education comes consciousness raising. And you can now begin to transform your society. You can transform how you will use your label and what you will produce from your label. And you also will know how to maintain and keep and control your label and not let other people control your label. Right now, workers, we don't have the choice in the work we do. This stuff has been planned for us 20, 30 years in advance. We have no way of really organizing ourselves where we can begin to conceive how to organize ourselves to be free. At this stage in our life, we think that all free people, the only way to get free is to be organized. And the only way to be organized, you need to be some kind of party that will be capable of representing the interests and the needs of your people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as an organizer for African Wellness Association, you alluded to earlier, I'm also organizer for the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. Most people who heard of this organization probably heard of Brother Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael. Well, I had the privilege to work with the brother for over 25 years at least. And ever since, you know, our party believed that it is Pan-Africanism is the only objective that is capable of solving the ills of African people on a global basis. And we define Pan-Africanism as the total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism. So it's composed of three aspects: liberation, unification, and socialism. Africa must be the base in which when one raises a program, it must be around the liberation of Africa. Once Africa is free and sovereign, we will have the capability and means of solving all the problems around the world that affects our people. Marcus Garvey was clear in that. Kwame Nkrumah was clear in that. Sekou Toure is clear in that. We have a history with W.E. Du Bois, the first Pan-African Congress in 1900 that he decreed over in Europe, was clear in that. We must come look at our history. We have a history. You know, we must not detour from our history. Learn our history. Our history points us the direction we need to go. Pan-Africanism is the key. It will set all Africans free. So we come and tell our people. If you want to find out more about the party, we come actually to Google www.a-aprpgc.org. We have a web portal that will tell you a lot about our party, the history, give you our process of methodology, how we transform the people. But we need the people. We need the people. Our people must be organized. And if you don't agree with our party, we do tell you this. You must join some organization that's doing something for your people.
Right, that's
so
right.
Eventually, we'll hook up. We learn by
that's
doing.
Right.
We all will make contradictions. We have contradictions. But the only way you can overcome contradictions is through working through them. So if you don't join our party, we want you to join the Nation of Islam. We want to join the Million Women Movement. We want you to join the NAACP. We don't care. Join something. But as individuals, you cannot do nothing for your people.
That's right.
Capitalism takes the individual. No great man, no great individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, individuals cannot do nothing without the participation of the masses of the people. It's the masses of the people that make history, not individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to
get
away from this bourgeois way of looking at history and what they present to us. And our people are not. Our people do not lack unity or action. We are responding all the time to situations out of spontaneity. But we don't want to act out of spontaneity. We want to act out by having unified thoughts, conscious thoughts. What we need is unity of thought. This is what we are lacking, unity of thought, not unity of action. Once we have unity of thought, we can direct our energies directly at the goals and objectives that we want to achieve, and we can achieve them. We can measure them. We won't be confused by the enemy with their propaganda. to mass media, to newspaper. I mean, you name it. We are bombarded 24 hours a day with their backwards ways of looking at life. But there are other ways of defining life and looking at life. But again, you must be conscious of it and have a vehicle in which you properly operate through on a daily basis. So we need political parties. We need a political party. We say come join the RF people, Revolution Party GC, but if you don't, join the Million Women March. Join the Nation of Islam. Join the NAACP. Join the Black Panther, New Black Panther Party. Join somebody. But you can't be out here being playing Superman by yourself.
That's right. Brothers, we're going to open up the phone line. Family, I'm looking at the time, and wow, this time has gone by quickly. We do have a few minutes. If you have a comment or question for Brother Lee, of course, push one now, and we will certainly get you on. We have only maybe 5 minutes, but we certainly want to get you on. Before we do, I just want to mention that when I was in school, one of the guiding lights for me was, in fact, the AAPRP. I never became a member per se, but was involved with bringing Kwame Ture to our college campus. And then, of course, several years later, got the opportunity to literally sit with him, Brother Lee. I think I might have mentioned this to you before. After doing the Million Women March, Baba Kwame asked me to come and visit with him, which I did. And again, it's one of the best experiences that I've ever had, really, and certainly one that I'll always remember. Mm-hmm. Again, being on the campus, and I was a student leader, as they say, on campus, and so forth and so on. And again, it was only a few organizations that you could find on campus, And of course, that was one of the AAPRP's kind of main things, is to always be present on the campus. And I tell you, again, in terms of my growth and development, it certainly helped, inspired, and, that's why I will always have a place in my heart, for the brothers and the sisters in the party, because, again, I remember it quite well and have always appreciated the work, the consistency, too, But enough of that. Let's go to our live line. Let's see, caller, you're at 7940. Do you have a question, a comment for us tonight? I'm going to pat you right in right about now. 7940? 7940, are you there? Okay. All right, I guess not. Go ahead, Brother Lee.
Yeah, while we're waiting for a caller, let me just give some of the dates, some of the places where Gloria and the delegation will be coming.
Yes, please. Because I've just been told we only have like 2 minutes left. Please go ahead.
Quickly, at least in Washington, D.C., on the 16th and 17th, they'll be in Washington. In Philly, they'll be in Philadelphia on the 18th. Richmond, Virginia, they'll be there from the 19th to the 21st. On the 23rd, they'll be in Baltimore. Those will be some of the cities. If you will call us at 804-549-7492, we can give you information, or you can email us at African_Awareness_Association@Yahoo. We get back and give you information, and at the same time, we would like to encourage people to come and go with us to Cuba next year around July 23rd, about to August 7th to 6th. We spend basically about 2 weeks every year in Cuba, so we'd like to encourage people to come out to go with Cuba and come out to the programs.
All right. And, of course, what we're going to do, family, is, from between now and then, we're going to keep you updated and so forth to really get you involved, engaged, so that we can be ready to go in July. So, Brother Lee, we're going to keep making certain that information is available, and those folks that are interested, will help to give them a kind of preliminary, getting ready, because I find it's always best to get with our folks prior to going somewhere, just to kind of give them a briefing and some insight to help prepare them, for the trip. So, again, I'm making a commitment to assist in whatever way possible to do that.
And to add to your point, we'd like to encourage the community. We love to come to that community to talk to them about Cuba and share some of our years of footage of films and materials that we have on Cuba to properly educate our people about Cuba. So we love to have them to come to your community. We're waiting for the invitation. We'll be there.
Okay, well, they just gave me the cue. We have only 1 minute left. But, Brother Lee, what I'd like to do is to make arrangements to get either Sister Gloria or one of the other delegates on a show this week as we get ready for them to come in on the 18th. And if not this week, you know, before the 18th, we'd like to do some live broadcasts again to,
maybe
you know,
we can do one for the next shows you do, one for every show. We can arrange that. Just get back
all
with me
right
and we'll get the dates.
Very good. Family, we are down to our last minute. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We've been talking with Brother Lee Robinson for the African Awareness Association. And again, we're going to continue this dialogue in the very near future. We'll keep you posted. We thank you all for tuning in again to New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And remember, we will leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Potep. But always remember, as we strive for peace, and because that's a part of our being, remember, there can be no real peace without Ma'at, without justice. And, of course, with justice, we mean liberation. Till next time, Tutanana. Remember, Moji Tutashinda, together we shall win. Peace out.
Forward.